There will be a reading and a book launch celebration for Saratoga Springs author Robin Antelik's new novel, The Grown-Ups. The book is a coming-of-age novel involving three friends who explore what it means to be happy, what it means to grow up, and the difficulties in doing both together. Antelik is the author of The Summer We Fell Apart. She'll be at the Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs at 6 p.m. on Thursday night. And the book comes out on Tuesday the 27th.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. And we're very excited. I have a copy in my hand. It looks beautiful and ready for people to dig in. And it's a terrific read. Again, it's The Grown-Ups, a novel that is published by Morrow. And we welcome Robin Antelik to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joe.
It's a delight to have you here, and have you back talking about a new book. How long has this been in the works?
Well, let's see. It's been 4 years between books. Took me 2 years to get over a novel that I thought was going to be the second book, and shelved that, and then another 18 months or so to write The Grown-Ups. So.
All right, so I want to obviously know about that. So, because this always fascinates me, and
yeah.
I interview a lot of authors, and I hear it a lot. So you're there, you're going, and
yep.
Then at some point you realize, all right, I'm done. This
right.
isn't gonna go any further than where I have it right
yeah.
now.
It was about 2 years of work, and I hit a wall, and realized that I didn't know where I was going, and I have a lot of good help. I have a lot, you know, I have a great agent who was
sure.
reading it, an editor who was eagerly awaiting it, and it was my call because they really said to me, we still like the gem of the story that's in there. You just got to bring it out or do something else, and I had hit a wall with those characters. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put it aside, and they said, fine.
We just had Gail Godwin on our program, and she was talking about publishing industry, and she has a new book on publishing, and she was talking about this very thing of working on a book and then all of a sudden saying, okay. But then sort of going through it and being able to resurrect parts of it in other work, were you able to do something like that?
Not for this book, but I'm hoping for the next book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is a clean slate a nice place to be? Because that's what you started with.
Yeah.
And then you say, all right, and does it become a completely different direction that you want to go in?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, I mean, I think a lot of writers do this. You're sort of mourning the characters that don't come to fruition, right? And, you know, I was feeling a little sorry for myself, and I was moping around, and I was sitting in the used bookstore of the Saratoga Springs Public Library, and I was just kind of eavesdropping on the two elderly women that were speaking, the volunteers, and one of them said, it was the summer all of the children caught a virus. I have no idea why I heard that sentence and what it meant, but I scribbled it down, and it ended up becoming the first sentence of the new book.
So once you have that,
mm-hmm.
then how much do you plan out and say, okay, this is what I want to know going into it, especially when you hit a wall the first
right,
time.
Right, right. Well, I was thinking that this was going to be a short story. So I was a little gun shy of starting a new novel. So I was thinking that it was just the beginning to a short story. And worked it up as a short story and realized I didn't want to leave the characters. Because I had this whole neighborhood, I had this great narrator, and I wanted to keep going.
The book spans over a decade. It is told in alternating voices.
Yes.
So does that come first? How am I going to tell the story, and whose voice am I going to use?
Interestingly enough, it was only first-person point of view, one narrator, when I finished the first draft. And the second draft, and the third draft. And then my editor said to me one day, what do you think if we just try to hear from a couple of the girls? What do you think they'd have to say? And so I just wrote a few chapters in their voice and then realized that the book really needed to be multiple viewpoints, third person point of view.
Is that a complete rewrite at that point, or is it just kind of shuffling around?
It was shuffling around. It wasn't a complete rewrite. Sam's story pretty much stayed the same, and it was more like fitting the puzzle pieces of the other two narrators' voices into the story, which sort of made it blossom into this something bigger than it was, you know? So that part, it was difficult, the mechanics of taking first to third, but once I got Sam out of the way and the ladies started to speak, it really became a fuller book.
Sam Turner is 15 years old, and he feels very lucky to have this this friend, Susie Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. And young love, right?
Yeah, young love, yes, yeah.
And then how does that blossom?
Well, I think Sam's a bit of a bumbler, you know? He doesn't really know what's going on.
In other words, a 15-year-old boy.
He's a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
He seems to think, though, that everyone else has it figured out. He has a brother who's extremely capable and high-achieving, so I think he just normally feels that he doesn't have it figured out. And he just sort of lets Susie take the lead because she pursues him, and he doesn't really know why. And then at the end of the summer, Susie moves away. So he's sort of left with a lost love, so to speak, but not even sure if it really was a love.
Right. And once you have those other voices and they come, do they come in a rush? And
they do.
I assume you start to hear it in your head, right? You start
you
to hear the conversations.
Absolutely.
Go.
I heard Sam fully formed. I mean, by the time I sat down to write, it had been a solid couple of months of just keeping that sentence and the people in my head until I just couldn't bear it anymore, really, and had to sit down and write and see where it went. And it does, really, when everything's clicking, it does come in a rush.
When you have that, you have created another world, you've created these characters, and do you, at a time, realize what I ultimately ask you as an interviewer of what the book's about, you know, of understanding what the themes are and what you want to discover within the context of that story?
I think so. I think I don't sit down with a grand idea.
Sure.
This is what I'm going to write about. I think as the characters come to me, as they speak, as they're moving along on the page, if that makes any sense, I do realize what the book is about.
And because for me, this book is it's nostalgia, but it's also has you questioning growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
questioning what happened, what you remember, what's right, what's wrong, all that stuff.
Right. Right.
Which is so much a part of growing up anyway.
Right.
But,
right.
But especially when you're becoming an adult.
Yes. I think when you're the age that the characters are when this book opens, you think grown-ups get to do everything, you know,
yeah.
And you just can't wait to be a grown-up. And then when you have sort of a little bit older, you have one foot in childhood, one foot in adulthood, you realize it might not be everything it's cracked up to be. And at a certain point in your aging process, you have no choice but to be a grown-up. What is a grown-up? How do we ever get to be a grown-up? Nobody teaches you that.
And these are our kids, for
right.
want of a better term, they're kids
right.
who are often put in a position of doing grown-up things.
Absolutely.
And they're doing the best they can, and it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're trying to understand the grown-ups around them.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the grown-ups act more like children than the children, so they're not doing that bad.
Right. And especially when you say, well, okay, the adults aren't doing all that great either, right?
Right, I mean, right. Exactly. Exactly.
So, and this book, as I said, takes place over a wide period of time. So we see these characters develop and grow and reach different stages in life and how it all kind of comes full circle.
Absolutely. And hopefully to a good conclusion.
What did you learn in writing the first novel that ultimately helped you in this one?
I think I learned that I needed to trust myself more. Absolutely. Mm. As a writer. And to just be not afraid of being totally honest and out there and putting it on the page. And then I think the reader appreciates that. That's probably the biggest thing I learned.
Of trusting yourself, of knowing where this is, where you want it to go.
Right.
And trust the instinct, right?
Right. Trust the instinct.
And say, okay, how much, but again, you don't go down with a plan and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So if one line, I know Dean Kunz just talked about this on the show last week, of just like one line, all of a sudden you're sitting in a doctor's office and the next minute you're in a car with a clown and you're like, okay, what happened? How did I get there?
Right. Right.
What did that?
Right.
And then, but to trust the instinct to say there's something that made me do that.
Right. Right. To not edit yourself continuously, to just let it get out on the page, just put whatever you want out there and see where everybody's going and what they're doing. There's technique. I'm there, but it is some gift. That's all I have to say. Sometimes it's a gift.
What is it like? And we talk about this a little bit with authors on our shows, and I'm just fascinated because what is it like for you to have a community around you? As you say, the Saratoga Springs Library, you've got the North Shore Bookstore,
right.
But having this community of people who are reading the book. The book is beautiful. I mean, it says, oh, I'm here for a book group. Adopt me. Come on. It just shouts that.
Yes.
It's a paperback.
Yes.
It's ready for people to,
yes.
to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is it like to sort of live in that community?
It's remarkable. I mean, I think truly that is what made the first experience so amazing. I visited over 100 book groups, whether in person, Skype, phone call,
yep.
and just the talking about the characters and realizing that to some people, I've created a world that is totally real. They were there, they fell in love with the characters, and that is an amazing thing for an author. It really is.
Absolutely. And are you at work on number three, or are you saying, okay, let's do this, let's do all of the book groups and the publicity, and then we'll get to that in a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Like I said, I think I'm going to revisit parts of the book that I shelved, so we'll see what happens there. But right now, it's all about the grown-ups.
Robin Antelik will be at the North Shore Bookstore in Saratoga Springs at 6 p.m. on Thursday night. You can find out more information about the event by going to northshire.com. So that's a week from last night.
Yes.
So next Thursday at North Shore Bookstore, 6 p.m. at the store in Saratoga Springs, northshire.com for more information. The new book is The Grown-Ups. It is out. It is a beautiful original paperback from Morrow, and it comes out officially on January 27th. Robin, thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. The Grown-Ups by Robin Antelik. It is published by William Morrow. You can find out more about her event by going to northshire.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.